This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. You can now watch our TV show on Free Speech TV every weekday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. FSTV is on Dish Network, DirecTV, and Roku. This week marks the 40th anniversary of a shocking act of foreign state-sponsored terrorism on U.S. soil. On September 21st, 1976, Chilean diplomat Orlando Letelier and his U.S. colleague Ronnie Moffitt were assassinated in Washington, D.C. when a remote-controlled bomb exploded in their car. Letelier was a member of former Chilean President Salvador Allende's administration, and it was just 3 years prior to his killing that a U.S.-backed coup ousted Allende on September 11, 1973, installing dictator Augusto Pinochet. Declassified documents in the years since Letelier's killing found that Pinochet directly ordered the assassination. However, the dictator, who died in 2006, was never held accountable for that crime. My guest is Francisco Letelier, a Chilean-born artist, muralist, writer, and activist currently based in Los Angeles. He was 17 years old when his father, Orlando Letelier, was assassinated. Francisco now joins us from Washington, D.C., where he is commemorating the events of 40 years ago with a series of murals, among other things. Welcome to the program, Francisco.
Good morning, Sonali. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. As I mentioned, you were only 17 years old, and I understand one of the murals that you're commemorating the events of 40 years ago with is based on a photograph that you took of your own father only 3 days before he was killed. What was that time like for you? 40 years ago, you were a teenager, it was the year since the coup, and your father was essentially, your family was essentially living in exile here in the U.S., right?
Yes, we were living in exile in Bethesda, Maryland, that is, you know, very close to Washington, D.C. We felt that we had escaped what turned out to be the long hand of the brutal dictatorship in Chile. We had lived through living in Santiago, the family, when my father was in the concentration camps. He was detained in for a little bit more than a year. But we lived through the coup and its aftermath at the heart of things in Santiago. We lived only a few blocks from the presidential palace. And we underwent what thousands of Chileans underwent as this machine of terror that was built up was turned onto the Chilean population. So we felt that when we came to the United States, we were safe.
And we should, of course, absolutely not forget to mention the U.S. role, particularly the role of Henry Kissinger in essentially undermining democratic rule in Chile and replacing the very popular government of Salvador Allende with the dictatorship of Pinochet. And then the U.S. role in the dark years that followed since. It's, how important is that portion of the story?
It's enormously important because that's why this year we're after more declassified documents. If in the past statements about Henry Kissinger's complicity and involvement in events in Chile were considered political opinions, today, through those declassified documents, we know that they are historical fact. We know that he was friends with Pinochet, commended him on his efforts. We know that he knew intimately about the things there and tried to make things better for the Pinochet regime in many ways, knowing that they had had to sacrifice certain things in order to attain their goals. So this year, 40 years later, we're still after more clarity and truth. As you understand, you mentioned earlier that we weren't able to put Pinochet on trial in his physical person, but he has been on trial. When Augusto Pinochet was imprisoned in 1998 for a short time, he was 83. So this also allows us to visit concepts of justice. Although we must continue to search out these criminals and all the other people that have been involved in these brutal acts against Chileans and people from other countries within and without Chile, we have to remember that we achieve a great amount of justice by letting people know what happened, by clarifying these historical myths. And Henry Kissinger is one of those great myths that's been built up in the North American mind as a master of statecraft, as a master of real politic. Oh, maybe he had to make some sacrifice, but oh, was he not so brilliant? Even Hillary Clinton has lamentably chosen to write forwards for his book and appear in photo appearances for him. It's unfortunate because he's truly a great master criminal, responsible for at least complicitly agreeing to genocidal programs in Asia and in Latin America, and God knows who else, where else.
Francisco, how close was your father to the leadership of Salvador Allende? What role did he play? I understood he basically was in multiple roles over the years when he joined the Socialist Party in Chile. Just to give our audience a perspective of what a symbol of Allende's government your father was when he was assassinated by Pinochet all the way in Washington, D.C.
Yes, well, you know, my father's relationship started with Salvador Allende when he was a young man. And that friendship that he had with Salvador Allende has really determined the general outlines of my life. My family first left Chile in 1960 because my father had helped Allende in his very first presidential campaign in 1957-58. He had lost his job and told that he would not find employment in Chile again. So as a young person left searching for opportunities, we entered New York Harbor, like many people searching for a new place to take roots, like many immigrants. And we followed that path. So the story of Orlando Letelier is not only a story of a relationship to a foreign president, but also a very American story of a person who, with great clarity, arrived here, loving all of the Americas in the Pan-American sense. And but we arrived here in 1960 and returned to Chile in subsequent presidential elections. So by 1970, when Allende was elected, ironically, we prepared to return to Chile, but Salvador Allende let my father know that he would be most needed in the United States, where he had gained experience and connections over the past 10 years living there. And so he served as the ambassador here during the crucial moments when Chile was nationalizing copper to make the country viable economically. And so their relationship was further deepened there. When Allende died September 11th, 1973, the handful of cabinet ministers that did not lose their lives were imprisoned altogether on Dawson Island, several hundred miles from the Antarctic Circle. And many men were tortured and died in that experience. When we returned to Washington, D.C., into exile, my father was rising as one of the better spokespeople for a government in exile. And since he had been involved in the economic side of things and had been in Washington, D.C., was particularly effective at hitting the Pinochet dictatorship in places where it hurt them by denouncing them for human rights as a firsthand witness and survivor of torture and concentration camps, and by convincing people to not give them the economic loan packages that Pinochet so vitally needed to convince the more ambivalent parts of the population who had not experienced the horrors that many thousands of others had, and also to dole out the goodies to his military colleagues, because that was part of the deal of him rising to power, that he would lead the armed forces into unprecedented glory, and war toys are always part of that promise.
Francisco, let's talk about your father specifically and the way in which you are commemorating his legacy 40 years after he and his U.S. colleague Ronnie Moffitt were killed. I understand that the series of murals that you are painting, and you're a well-known, award-winning artist in your own right, sort of, you know, aside from the work that you do in keeping your father's legacy alive, you are, especially here in Los Angeles, where we're based, a very well-known artist. So you're in D.C. this week, where you're speaking to us from. What are the murals that you are unveiling? Tell us about the one particularly about your father, based on your father's photo.
Yes. Well, my father's panel in this large mural that's made up of five panels, each panel acts as an independent image, but they all come together into one larger mural. The panel of my father has many embedded photographs and documents. The documents in my father's panel include declassified documents, but also documents that have to do with identity and his personal life. One far-reaching goal of these panels is not only to commemorate the lives of Ronnie Carpin Moffitt and Orlando Letelier and to go over and create a site of memory for the events that happened 40 years ago, but also to celebrate the decision that people made 40 years ago, 43 years ago, when you go into the anniversary of September 11th, 1973, to rise up, to return Chile to democracy, to continue to create a society in Chile with economic and social justice. And that story, motivated by the murders and the story of Chile, has continued up to this day. So we're receiving declassified documents in the next few days. President Bachelet of Chile will be here to receive those. We hope that those documents will give us some more information. And one extremely crucial thing that's our short-term goal is to let people know that the Supreme Court in Chile in 2015 issued a court order for the extradition of Michael Vernon Townley, the Chilean agent that came to the United States, collaborated with anti-Castro communist groups to kill this young American woman, Ronnie Carpin Moffitt, and my father on the streets of Washington, D.C. He turned state evidence, served barely 5 years, and now has entered an FBI witness protection program.
And so you want justice specifically
for the Chilean Supreme Court?
For him.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we want that court order to continue due process, where we know that it has been through the Chilean Foreign Ministry, arrived at the U.S. State Department. We're so happy about the declassification of the current set of documents, and we're really hoping that they put some teeth into this declassification, because really it's an attempt to make more transparent the U.S. role and the tragic events of four decades ago. And it's clearly given more impact and traction if we can actually get this man who carried out the murders of my father and Ronnie, but as well several other murders, and some that we don't even know about because of its protection, to further clarifying the acts of history.
And we should also mention, by the way, you brought up Michelle Bachelet, the Chilean president. She too was tortured under the Pinochet regime. And so that legacy of the Pinochet regime remains very large within Chile today as well. Well, Francisco, how well known do you think those events are here in the United States? It feels as though, you know, people who consider themselves progressive and who really studied U.S. history are quite familiar with the first September 11th terrorist incident, which harkens back to 43 years ago in Chile. But maybe a lot of people today still don't know the U.S. role in supporting a regime that resulted in your father's killing. How important is it for us to remember that history? And how much media coverage are you getting for the work that you're doing this week in D.C.?
We have been receiving lots of coverage. because of the amazing work and groundwork that has been laid in the last 40 years. Mm-hmm. One really important thing that I can stress is that this story about these deaths in Washington are part of the story of Washington, D.C. People of my generation, generations before and after me, have been affected by this because it's helped create a contemporary identity for Washington, D.C. itself. The story crosses borders and frontiers, and we've been really lucky. These murals have been created at the American University Museum, whose director, Jack Rasmussen, has put the Todas las Manos mural commemorating the deaths of Orlando and Ronnie with exhibits that show a new revealing of American histories. And that's something that's going on all the time, especially now at this moment where things that we believe are so set in stone are showing us that they're not, that there are still ideas about who gets to be a citizen or who gets to say they are an American. There's still lots of racism. And so Todas las Manos is with exhibits about the Asian American experience, the African American experience in the United States, with posters from the Black Panthers. So we are revealing this truer history of America that is more a broader vision, a more Pan-American vision, an understanding of international cooperation. These are the things that will lead us into a better future. So now more than ever, this story is getting a lot of publicity because I feel that there's a joining of a lot of currents, necessary joining and understandings that we are in this together. We are facing unprecedented forces, and so that's a really good thing. We have to stay on it, Sonali. We have to continue this, and I'm working with a great group of people, and we're determined to stay on it for another 40 years.
Francisco, thank you so much for all the work you do and for spending this time with us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Sonali. Thank you for your time.
Francisco Letelier is a Chilean-born artist, muralist, writer, and activist currently based in Los Angeles. He was 17 years old when his father, Orlando Letelier, was assassinated in Washington, D.C. Francisco spoke with me from Washington, D.C., where he's commemorating the events of 40 years ago with a series of murals. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com and on Twitter at twitter.com/RUWithSonali.